Okay, Luke chapter 6, we're near the end of that anyway. That whitewater rafting that we talked about last week. Expedition, done some very, what seemed like impossible things, because they are impossible to do in the flesh. To love in the way that God loves is not possible in our fallen state. We need to be converted, we need to become new creatures. And then it is possible, all things are possible with God. So we did that adventure down Luke chapter 6, there's some passages talking about loving the unlovable. Those that don't deserve our love, let alone the time of day. Great challenges. And we equated it to whitewater rafting. We have come for the white water, I hope is what your cry is this morning as we gather together. We've come for the white water, the challenge, the glory of it. To do the impossible because God is with us. I hope we brought our oars with us today. Did you come for the white water? To be somewhat little dead, right? To be challenged with the impossible. To be conquerors with Christ. What is the glory of being a human being? Is it chocolate cake? No. What is it? The glory of being a human being. Being able to give and love without partiality. Without any strings attached, without expectation of return, without judgment. Did you come for that? Did you come here for the white water? Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's on our flag as Christians. Accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8:37 continues though. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Let's break into verse 39 and 40. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in a ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. I'm not sure if I could just drive on by if I saw one blind person leading another blind person, both of them stumbling and running into things, possibly going into traffic. I'm not sure I could just drive by that scenario. Stop, hold on, you need some help there. Of course, it's a little bit of humor from the Lord. It's blind people leading blind people is ridiculous. Yeah, so they're going to get hurt. They're going to fall in a ditch. There are many people leading people in various ways. We know that. But ultimately, we want a leader, someone leading that is qualified. And what we preach, what we present is Jesus is qualified to be your leader, to be your Lord. More than qualified. More than sufficient. All sorts of examples. I'll give you a list here. Just to encourage you that Jesus is qualified to be your Lord. All the challenges of growing up from infant on right up to being an adult, dealing with parents, sometimes well-meaning parents, but having misplaced concerns, overprotectiveness, all those things. We saw that even in Jesus' life. Jesus dealt with temptation directly from the devil in his weakest moment in the flesh, 40 days not eating. Jesus dealt with difficult religious people, and he's going to do more. The frozen chosen, we called them. Can't dance, the wet blankets, remember that? Jesus dealt with the push to popularity. Once he started doing miracles, let's make this our miracle king, this man. The crowds, the throngs, that pressure of fame and glory of man to get away from that, separate himself from that and get with God because that's the one vote that he needed. It wasn't the vote of man. Jesus dealt with the misunderstanding and even betrayal from people closest to him. People very close to him. I mean, very close, following him every day. And to have those people, flee, turn their back, and even betray. Man, the sword that must have went through. The feeling of hurt and pain. Yes, indeed, he is qualified to be our Lord. He's the captain of our salvation. Will you make him the captain, your raft master. The picture I chose for last week's teaching, you see, if you see it on the website, take a look at the guy in the back. You've got some novices in the front, obviously having a good time and trying to paddle, and you got this burly guy in the back. Man, he's just on top of it. He's got it going. That is the raft master, that position. Jesus Christ is the raft master. In these troubled waters, in these turbulent, these impossible things, Jesus is with us. He's the one that provides that strength for us, that direction, that power. Will you make him the captain of your raft? Let's forsake and follow the Lord. What do you think? It's crazy, huh? Crazy idea, forsake all and follow Jesus. Let's shoot the rapids and go for it. It may seem safer that you have more control if you stay on the shore, but you will be left behind and left out. In fact, the most frightening verse to me and the most frightening thing to me in the reality of these two kingdoms isn't about what you did or didn't do in the sense of sin. It's this. It's Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's a sobering, chilling verse. Have you come for the white water? Not everyone will take part in that. People will want to hear smooth things, entertaining things. And maybe something, some kind of preaching that will allow them to have God on a leash. Sit. Come. Go. Many will go the broad way. Jesus tells us that. Broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to life. Broad way. Many going. Don't follow the crowd. There's not necessarily safety in numbers. That difficult water. The party on the beach, take the difficult water. The broad way, many there go. Not the broad way of New York City. Jesus speaks of the broad way as the path, the ways of the world, and there's many on that. There is not safety in that crowd, folks. Narrow is the path to life, and he says, few that find it. Have you come for the white water? Have you come for the challenge? The door to that path, that narrow path that he speaks of, is Jesus himself. You open that door by inviting Jesus into your life. The path inside that door is the following of Jesus, the path he made for us all. It's a trail of blood. Every step I take, every move I make is on that blood trail. It's on my feet. It's saturated on my feet. My whole being is affected by the grace of God as I follow him. If you come for the white water or the party on the beach, will you love without judgment? Will you? Will you hear sermon after sermon and agree that someone ought to do that? Or come to the realization that someone is you? What's it going to take? It's going to take mercy. Mercy. We read that last week, a few verses before that. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful with you. What's it going to take? Mercy. Barrel after barrel of it each morning. Wake up to a 50-gallon drum of God's mercy. Drink it. I can't drink 50 gallons. Yeah, you can. Stop with the baby sippy cups and drink in the grace of God. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. You should have only one problem during the day. Where you're going to spend that mercy that was poured into you, that grace and love that was poured into you, where are you going to spend it? Every time I think of that, and that particular verse, there's a crazy cartoon with a dog that filled himself up with a water hose. And he was going to go out to the neighborhood and take care of all the fire hydrants. He was all swelled up. We need to swell up with the love of God and the mercy of God. We need to drink it in. Our only problem during the day is where we spend that, where we pour out this love that God has poured into us. No, preacher, you don't understand. My problems are this person, this situation, this thing. Hold on. Let's get on a new pair of glasses here, okay? The lenses of Christ. The same ones he looked through at the people that spit on him and plucked out his beard, those same lenses, we need to be wearing them as well. We need to drink in and pour out what God poured into us. If your resources run out at 8:03 a.m., chances are you have not filled up on the mercies of God. Learn what that means. Spend time with God. Let him fill you up. Starts this way. Jesus, have mercy on me. Start out with that. Great starting point. Sweetly broken before the Lord. Let him pick you up, fill you up, and kick you in the rear end out of the door into the white water. The good news is that he is there with us throughout the journey. He's that raft master, that burly raft master. And it's always downstream. As rough as it is, it's always in that direction of God, his will, his flow. Religious work can be tricky because it seems like the same white water, the same white water, the same tribulation. It feels wet, it's busy, but you're going in your own strength. You're in the same water, but you're paddling upstream. You become exhausted for the Lord. Quote, turn around, just turn around and paddle with God. His burden is easy and light. Get in the flow with God. Let him be the raft master. Stop taking his position. Turn around and paddle with God, the flow of God. That's the significance of truth, by the way. That's why we're in the scripture today, to get oriented by the raft master, not by pastor, by the raft master. The truth orients us in the right direction. Love will simply power our paddle. We might be going upstream. We're not even in the stream, paddling all over the place because we're trying to love. But truth orients us in the flow of God and orients that love in the right direction. Truth and love need to go together. If you learn anything from me, you've learned that. It's like two legs working together in synergy. What's that synergy? That's two things working together. Complementary. Truth and love are the crosshairs and the rifle of the Christian. Where they meet is where we want to be. Pun intended. The cross is not only a place of our salvation, but it's an aiming device. It's our scope, if you will. Love and truth meeting, that's where power is. That's the direction we need to be focusing in. Praise the Lord. These are challenging items, but will you trust Jesus not only to equip you to endure, but lead you through? This is going to happen on any expedition, folks. This is going to happen in any ministry. Things that knock us off the raft. Knocked off the raft. You mean lose your salvation? No, you still got your life jacket on. Don't worry about that. But you get knocked off the raft. It happens. It happens to all of us. If it hasn't happened to you yet, keep breathing. 41 and 42, here we go. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own? Perceivest not, know not the beam, that log, the tree that is in thine own eye. Either how can thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Jesus is being absolutely hilarious today. The blind leading the blind, and people with logs in their eyes trying to help other people with specks in their eye. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then you shall see clearly to pull out the speck or the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Falling off the raft. Things that knock us off the raft. You're doing fine, having a grand time, when you realize you've been on class 3 water so far, class 3 river, and the announcement comes from the raft master, class 4, 5, or 6 is ahead. That's the 6. There's 6 classifications of river. You mean classification or class, as in learnings class, or both? There are 6 classes of river. Class 5, just for your interest today. Extremely long, obstructed, very violent rapids, which expose a paddler to added risk. Drops may contain large, unavoidable waves and holes, or steep, congested chutes with complex, demanding routes. Rapids may continue for long distances between pools, demanding a high level of fitness. Class 6, that was 5. Extreme and exploratory rapids, Runs of this classification are rarely attempted and often exemplify extremes of difficulty, unpredictability, and danger. How close is that to loving your enemy? Man, that's right there. Class 6. To forgiving. To doing these things. Unpredictable in this sense. Not safe, but the Lord is there, right? It's a testing of our faith. It's a testing of our strength in believing in God to get us through. To navigate these waters. The way this chapter is flowing, these aren't random nuggets of wisdom like Proverbs. This loving the enemies, this doing good to those people that don't deserve it, the having mercy, the judging not, the giving, the blind leading the blind, the log in the eye, they're all related to this expedition with the raft master, Jesus Christ. Blindness, the blind following the blind, and now obstruction in the eye, he's talking about. One thing about the Word of God is that it's living and powerful. I read it and then I experience it. I get something in my eye. If I'm reading about loving someone, guarantee there's going to be a very difficult situation near term that I have to go through. It's part of the joy of going through this. It's living and it's powerful. You'll read it, you'll experience it. And with a great reward, the thrill, have you come for the white water? I read about the eye and then something comes into my eye, going through the agony of it, basically shutting down. All the work stops when that one little thing is in your eye. The Bible speaks of the tongue, we know, how it is tied to the heart and things that flow out of the heart. But what is feeding the heart? What are the inputs that feed the heart? Your eyes, your ears. Jesus talks about the eye being the lamp of the body. Let's take a look at this a little bit. And speaking about blind leading, the blind logs and eyes, our vision. What is going on here? Having to do with this loving our enemies. Having to do with this white water. What is feeding the heart? Your eyes are. Your ears are. The resulting state of the body is dependent on those inputs, whether it's darkness or light. In fact, Jesus said that. Your eye is the lamp of the body. How you perceive things will determine the darkness or light that's inside of you. It says, behold, if your eye is dark, if you perceive everything as evil, how great is the darkness that's inside of you? What's going to be coming out if you're taking in darkness? Junk, doubt, fear. Whining, complaining, perversion. Complaining and perversion, those two go right together. I'm not a pervert. You complain? Yeah, you are. The resulting state of the body is dependent on that eye, that input, the ears, what's going in. Am I looking at the people and things around me to see what I can benefit from them, what I can get from them, or what I can give? Am I looking at people and things with judgment so I can make an excuse for not loving them? Well, I have discernment. Good. Discern this. Love your enemies. Give to every man that asks. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. So what does it look like when the blind is leading the blind? It looks like someone with a tree in their eye trying to help someone with a gnat in their eye. One sinner nitpicking on another sinner. Why does Jesus call one a beam and the other a speck? The beam is the hypocrisy which compounds the sin of that one person judging the other. He or she is likely going to do more harm than good to that sinner who is simply a sinner and knows it. Our church may have lazy portions of the river where it's comfortable. And I praise God for those times. But we are not without white water. It's not time to jump ship when there's difficulty, when trouble comes. Many will pursue the church of the still waters. That's heaven, folks. We will enjoy the fruits of this expedition forever that takes place here. This white water that we're talking about, we're going to enjoy. Somehow, I can't explain it, but we're going to enjoy the reward of that forever. It's time to get in the white water now. Man, that even makes me want to do it more, but I have to let the raft master control that. The white water leads into an eternal expanse, an ocean of water without end, mysteries and things to discover that has not even entered into the hearts and minds of man. I'm looking forward to being able to speak and hear the Lord directly, to worship Him without the corruption of flesh in the way, to experience this great privilege of verse 35 that says, the children of the highest, you shall be the children of the highest. I'm looking forward to that great privilege to be called that. Lord, help me get to the Mother's Day message. It's in there. For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 43. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush prickers gather they grapes. A good tree versus a corrupt tree. Good fruit, bad fruit. There are some pretty trees out there now as we're driving around. Very beautiful. Now all in bloom. Some are for show. Some will actually produce fruit for various creatures. They especially like the one that feeds this creature. They like pears and apples. Our town has a especially genetically modified cherry tree from Cornell University, believe it or not. There's no cherries on it. It's a cherry tree that's been specially messed up. That's right. We do not like the mess of fruit on the sidewalk, so we have these tinkerers that play around with things. And also we take the seed out of fruit, take the fruit off of trees. This is the odd things that we do. Jesus is simply talking about fruit here. In fact, defining a tree as good or bad by whether it has fruit or just leaves and prickers. Well, it's still a good tree, someone might say. It can make shade and firewood even if it doesn't have fruit. It's still a good tree. That's still a good person. Still kind of a good person, right? Careful. Jesus is looking at fruit. God is looking for more out of people than being shady and how they will burn. He is looking for fruit, seeds and all. Fruit was created by God and declares His glory, His very nature. One of my favorite teachings is done at Camp Gregory, which hopefully many will go to this year, the end of August, is about fruit. Finding the various fruits in the woods, from burdock, those sticky things, and relating them to the glory of God, His nature, how diverse these fruits are. Even a dandelion, the parachute. The parachute is a fruit. Its job is to deliver the truth, to deliver the seed, to lay its life down for it. The fruit to be eaten, to deliver the seed. The parallels are incredible. I get so excited about it. I can't go there today. It's Mother's Day. I got to keep moving. Come to Camp Gregory. So, healthy inputs feed the heart, and the heart produces fruit out of our limbs, the actions that we do with our hands, out of our two lips, our mouth, our trunk, our legs, the direction we're going into. Healthy inputs, our eyes, our ears feed into a heart. Then the produce, the fruit comes out. Jesus refers to your fruit as treasure. We might think of treasure as a pirate's chest filled with gold coins. Arrgh! But to Jesus, the treasure chest is your chest, your inner man, your heart. 45 declares that. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, there it is, your treasure chest, his mouth speaks. Where's the fruit going to be coming from? Your heart. What's the inputs? Your eyes and your ears. Are you hearing the word of God? Are you seeing through the lenses of Christ? A heart with good treasure, Jesus speaks of. A heart with evil treasure, he compares to. What is evil treasure? Huh? On a canoe trip, once down on the outlet here, the Owasco outlet right behind me, I found what was supposed to be a hidden treasure. They're called geocaches. Anybody know what that is? Geocache. It was exciting to find it, of course. Any treasure's exciting to find. It's something. But it was worthless junk. It was just like an old doll or something like that. And it's just some toys that were junky. But it was treasure. It was hidden. It was waiting. You know, there's something about treasure. There you are. Here I am today with a secret treasure map in our hands, the Bible. Let's go get it, man. Let's go get the treasure that Jesus is talking about. Let's do the stuff that he's talking about. You know where the treasure is buried. You dig down shovel after shovel. Your mind is racing to the things you will do with this treasure, the possibilities. Then tink, tink, you've hit it. You've hit the treasure. You're a treasure hunter. You whack the rusted lock off and it pops off. You look around, then slowly open it. Oh, what's that smell? It's a box filled with dirty pirate clothes and underwear. Underwear or clothes they should have changed more often than they did. But this was just a dirty laundry basket from a pirate. You're so crazed that you start digging in the ancient pirate underwear, and pirate poop is flying all over the place, and you can't find one nugget of gold. The only nugget you find is, you know what? I've been tricked, duped. The Bible told me to love and give even to difficult people, the people that cut across my grain. I say, okay, God, I'm going for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to love this difficult person. I'm going for it. Tink, tink. I'm opening my mouth. Here it comes. Here it comes. What's that stench? Something's wrong. I call Jesus my Lord. I call myself a Christian. I go to church. I don't swear. I watch movies G and below, whatever's below G. Here I go to love my enemy, give grace to the undeserving, and dirty pirate poop is coming out. Hold on. Hold on. This is not, folks, this is not a two-page manual about making toast. This is about human soul. This Bible is about rich, intricate matter, the human soul, deep waters. There is much to this. Let's continue. Praise God. And why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Verse 46. How can we call Jesus Lord and not do these things that he's talking about? Engage in these things. It's more than our willingness, folks, but our ability. And that ability, that strength, comes from our wrath master. Praise God. Let's continue with his parable here about the foundations. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently, that means like crazy, upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently. Same kind of stress, same kind of struggle. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Whitewater rafting was not a popular thing back in those days, so if Jesus used that analogy, people would be all the more confused. He uses a house. Something very understandable, something very easy to grasp. This is the whole point of parables and analogies, especially when it comes to spiritual matters that are difficult to grasp. People are so easily discouraged in following the Lord and serving the Lord because they're not aware of the tremendous things that take place that are really going on in the inner man. It's not just about staying out of trouble. The prospering of your soul is what is being discussed here. Bearing fruit, the strengthening of the inner man. There's three principles mentioned here to a solid foundation. Coming to Jesus. You can underline whosoever in verse 47 if you haven't melted this morning. Come to Jesus. There's that word again, whosoever. Whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out. Jesus said that's a promise. You think you've blown it? Well, you haven't broke that promise because you can't break it. It's all on God. Come to Jesus, number one, for building a foundation. Two, hearing him, hearing his voice. I read my Bible. Great. Do you hear him? Are you just trying to figure out yourself out of a situation or answer some kind of problem? Are you listening for the Lord? My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's number two. And foundations. Number three, you do it. Very simple. You come to Jesus, you hear him, and you do it. Building foundations, doing. This is where the rubber meets the road, of course. We've accepted Jesus as Savior. We've heard the word. And then Monday morning comes. He mentions digging deep, digging that foundation. There's a digging process, and it's a deep digging. Digging that ore into the white water. The instrument that we dig with, that he's talking about, is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The power in which we dig is called faith. You're applying that Word of God. You're digging in with the oar. You're digging in with a shovel. It's called faith. You're digging down deep. The treasure isn't apparent yet. You're digging through soil. You're going through it. You're going through the white water. This is the strength of the believer, faith. It's the muscle of belief to which we apply that oar, that shovel supplied by God. We need to pick up the oar and use it. Praise God. The cornerstone has to be laid first, and that is their salvation, their new creation with Christ. And then foundation building goes from there. But it's all reference to Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Every scripture that we learn, every time we're in the Bible, it's all reference to the person of Christ. It's hearing from Him. Speaking of Mother's Day, do you ever try to buy a gift for someone and you feel like just they don't really need anything? When you're a child, it's easy, right? You'll see certain items advertised that way. In fact, it'll say for the person, the guy or gal that has everything, here's a stainless steel sensing laser gaming mouse with a rubberized back that you can go get that. Here's a 40 sampler pack of Keurig K-Cups. They can't have all 40. There's got to be something in there. An ice ball maker mold that makes a very round, perfect ice cube. What about God? God has everything. Talk about coming up with something, going shopping for God. Talk about a difficult person to shop for. God has everything. Here you are, a disciple of Jesus. What are you going to get for Jesus? Faith is what God is looking for. And that's what we see in 1 through 10 here. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard Jesus, he sent him to the elders of the Jews. This is a Roman centurion, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, these are the elders of the Jews that the Roman centurion sent. They besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. The Jewish elders say, hey, this Roman centurion is really cool. He built us synagogues. And it says that in verse 5, he loveth our nation. He has built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. When he was now not far off from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Yet, man, he had a vision of the glory of God. He had a reverence for God. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man sent under authority, having under me soldiers. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were with him returned into the house, found the servant whole, that means healed, that had been sick. What can you give the Lord? What is God looking for? What will he be surprised with? Faith. This Roman centurion, who was what some would call a Jewish sympathizer, I think he was a little more than that. He loved the truth. He had a great respect for God. He took care of the Jews, even though he is the one that conquered Israel and the whole world. He's part of that lot. He's a Roman centurion in charge of many. He took good care of the people that worked for him, even beseeching Jesus for the one that is sick. He loved the truth. He came to the light. He recognized the light. Faith is an awesome thing. It's one of the only things that you'll notice in the scripture where God actually marvels. This is something I'd really like to see the Lord be shocked and surprised. Now, we all do this when we get a gift. In fact, the worst gift I ever got was a purple tie from a dollar store. And it was with a gift exchange. I can talk bad about it. It was one of those random gifts exchanged. It wasn't from a child. But it was a purple tie from a dollar store. And it was made out of recycled milk jugs, I think, because it was so stiff. I think it was imitation polyester, if that's possible. And when you open it, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, this is ridiculous. And you've got to pretend that you're you know, this is great, this is a great gift. Jesus, you imagine the creator of everything, you know, to give him something that he would be like, oh, wow. He was genuinely, oh, wow, about this guy's faith. There's something about faith that God goes, wow. And there's nothing else that causes him to go, wow, with us. It's with our faith. It's that digging that oar into that white water. When he says, I'm that person, that guy or girl says, I'm going to trust you, Lord. You're my raft master. I'm going to dig in. He says, wow. Wow. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mother's Day, verses 11 through 18. The flowers I have behind me are a special flower for today. We want to disappoint this important day. I want to read this next passage and finish here today about a mom and her son. These are called bleeding heart. They're from my front yard here. They look like a heart, and it's got a little drop of blood coming out, sort of. So it's called bleeding heart. So this is a special message, a short one, for moms that have experienced loss in their life. This is a passage not for your typical, wonderful soccer mom who's a taxi, 24-hour nurse, chef, maid, lover, counselor, mama bear, protector, encourager, judge, guardian of the heart, and goes on and on and on. This is different. It's about a mom that has experienced tremendous loss. No one is impacted as the one who carried you for 9 months, I'm not going to be able to do it, and gave birth. To all moms out there, and especially today, those who have experienced loss, and this can come in many ways, bless you. May the word of God be a gift of hope and strength for you today. In verses 11 through 18, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier of coffin, the thing they carried the man in, the young man, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. He sure did. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. News going out. Jesus had compassion on her. Our God is pure, but he's not sterile in the sense that he's a supercomputer in the sky operating in some binary language of do's and don'ts, blesses and curses. He's a living being. He can be amazed. He marveled at the centurion's faith. He has compassion. He feels her pain. He knew his own earthly mother carried this pain like a sword that pierces the soul, knowing this was the fate of her son. Remember Simeon's prophecy in chapter 2. Jesus was only 8 days old, and there's Simeon holding on to baby Jesus. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, looked right at her, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It is not without purpose that the suffering takes place. The word compassion used here in this verse, Jesus having compassion for this mom, is really crazy. Words Finklin and Mozo, and that's 100% inaccurate. Bowels moved, it means. Bowels moved. His bowels were moved. That's your inner gut, man. You're just feeling it. It's wrenching. Greek is very simple. It just says Jesus saw her and his bowels were moved. Sphinklin amonousia. Compassion. Notice this event was not remote control like the centurion sick servant when he said, yeah, this hour he is healed. Jesus was there in person. Weep not, he said to her. Not in the sense of toughen up and deal with it, woman, but because death is not to have the final say, Jesus is working on her. and saying, weep not. He's going to give her not only hope, but the reality of resurrection right before her eyes. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, that speaks of your new immortal body, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? My sister posted something yesterday. She's celebrating her son's 30th birthday. That's my nephew, Joseph Michael Livermore. The balloon and flowers carefully set near a small grave marker made for a small boy of just a couple years. Faithful year after year, celebrating his birthday. The big balloon says 30 on it. Weep not, Carol. The scripture tells us today that death does not have the final say. Death does not have the final say. When this corruption has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The Lord Jesus is there with you. He will say to that young boy, I say unto thee, arise. Even his physical body will be pulled out of the grave and joined with his spirit in God's kingdom, where every tear will be swept away. In the darkness and shadows of sin will be no more. Death does not have the final say. May the compassion of Jesus fill and surround you this day. Those that have lost. Those moms that experience, that know what this piercing is all about. This piercing of the soul. May your sadness turn to joy. May isolation and deep loneliness turn to the company of his graces and the fellowship of his suffering. Happy Mother's Day, and well done, sister. The Word of God seems careful to mention the details about this woman. She was a widow. She had experienced the loss of a husband. And then to mention this was her only son. This has striking resemblance to the cross that was not too far away from Jesus, the only Son of God. Mary, apparently a widower as well. Joseph out of the picture. We're not sure exactly what happened to him. There she is at the cross, nails piercing her son and a sword piercing through her soul. No physical pain can compare. How can you describe it? I do not think these things can be described or even need to be analyzed. But we are to be moved by them to compassion and humility and hope not in man but in God. Therefore, my gift to those mothers with the bleeding hearts today is Psalm 23 and Psalm 96. I will simply read them and close today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me to beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 96. For all moms, including those who have experienced loss, I leave you with us. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people rightly. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for today. We praise you for your word. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are on the throne, that you are in the right place on that raft in our lives, Lord God, that your strength and your power direct us, protect us, guide us. When we drop our oars, when we fall out, you're there, Father God, to bring us back in. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Fill us, Lord God, with your mercies every morning. That our only problem is where we're going to spend the love that you poured into us. That's our only problem. Where we're going to spend this love before we explode. Fill us with that love afresh, wave after wave. Living torrent, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. May the blessing of God be upon your heads today. And may miracles just be all around you today. Open your eyes. Fill your eyes with light. Your heart be filled. And you be fruitful today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your graces. Amen. Amen. Whew.